Welcome back to Heja Framtiden, the Swedish podcast on the future. My name is Christian von Essen, and I'm recording here from Epicenter in Stockholm during Stockholm Impact Week in collaboration with Invest Stockholm. I'm sitting here now with Menno Lammers. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
You just moderated a panel discussion on stage with a topic from sustainability to regeneration. What do we mean by that, from sustainability to regeneration?
Yeah, it was the session was about exploring that, because we're living in a degenerative world in that way, and that what means we are disconnected from nature. We are disconnected with our inner and outer worlds. We're disconnected with our left and our right brain, disconnected with men and women, and we are using and even abusing our planet Earth. So if you're doing less harm, you try to be, you're working on sustainability. When you want to do something for good, it means regeneration. So you have to think at nature. We don't have to change climate. The climate is doing well because it is already regenerative. That means it can balance itself. For example, the flower is growing at a certain moment, it's spreading their seeds, and new flowers will come. That flower will die. That's a life cycle. You have, for example, trees. They communicate with their roots, also to fungi. And when a virus is coming into the woods, they will communicate, hey, something is wrong, and they will take care by themselves. Or when a tree is going to die, the fungi is also creating communication. It will take care that other seeds have the opportunity to grow. Even with the animals, you know, the circle of life in that way. So it's about system thinking. It's about the system as a whole. So the whole should be bigger than the sum of the parts. Our current world is very focused on the parts and solving parts problems instead of and doing less harm. And now we have to reconnect the inner and outer world, the left and the right brain, men and women, people and nature, and thinking in systems. And that can start with a simple restorative project. For example, you have a road, you transform that into a natural environment, for example, a small river, where it can create fish, biodiversity, it can attract people, it can reduce heat stress. So when you talk also about regenerative business, you have to see business as part of society, as part of the environment, instead of there's business, there is society, and there is environment. Mm. And that's the parts again. But you have to see it as a whole.
And it kind of feels intuitively this is something that is practiced a lot in the Netherlands, where you come from?
Yes and no. there are some examples where they are using more natural materials, for example. You also had Floriade, it's a famous global initiative, or at least people from all around the globe come and experience all the new initiatives. So they're creating buildings from fungi, from all different natural materials. There are also projects which are very small initiatives, but of course it has to start somewhere, and now we have to scale it up, but also to exchange it. So it would be great when we can create an initiative, and also PropTech for Good is part of that movement, where we can share and collaborate cross-industry, cross-nation, because the solutions are there. Regeneration is not new, because it was already there, but we got lost in that way. And now we have to reconnect, but also learning from other countries. And of course, we want to invent it ourselves. But if we don't have too much time left, it's better to learn, to adapt. And of course, the context in Sweden is different than in the Netherlands, is different than in South Africa, is different than in Nigeria, or different in Colombia, or in Australia. But we can at least learn from it.
Yeah, and I realized I forgot to introduce you properly. You run something called PropTech for Good, which is it a company or a network?
It's a network, yeah. It's a company, but it's see it as a membership organization or an association. And what we do is we empower real estate companies to achieve their sustainable ambitions for a regenerative world, because that's what I'm striving to. But the real estate industry right now is, of course, I already told about the small initiatives, but it has the DNA really to do less harm right now. So at least that is something we have to do, but it's also the road to die slowly. So at the other hand, we also have to push the regeneration part to find a new balance. That will take time, but dying slowly is not the way forward and it's not future-proof.
And PropTech, of course, is property technology, and I've never seen it in the context of sustainability in this way before, which is interesting. What kind of examples do you have from the PropTech world when it comes to sustainability initiatives?
Maybe it's good to tell a bit more about history, because you didn't recognize it. PropTech is property technology, of course. Digital and real estate is not new. It's already, you know, when the internet came up. But PropTech as a movement got a big movement since 2016. And since, I would say 2-3 years, you saw that the whole sustainability, so focused on the sustainable development, was coming up. I write a yearly blog about the trends I observe. And I decided in 2020 to start with the PropTech for Good movement, working together with 40 associations, PropTech associations like PropTech Sweden, for example. To say, okay, you know, we have to grow the pie. It can't be about digitalizing the current real estate industry. I was really missing the why, you know, why are we doing this? And so I connected it with the Sustainable Development Goals of the United Nations. That's more focused on sustainability and impact in that way. And now we have to move to a regeneration. So that's really beyond sustainability. But just give you some examples where you can think about. So one is, for example, a company who has a platform, AI, and you can bring in some KPIs and they will design a neighborhood or a building. And you say, no, I want to have more profit, or I want to have it more sustainable. And then you can tweak, and then the design, because of AI, it makes millions of designs. And then you can tweak it and play with all the numbers and all the KPIs to find the best solution for that situation. Another one is, for example, smart waste management. They have sensors in the bin in the cities. They know when the bin is full, because why should you drive the same route every time and finding out that some bins are 80% full, some 5, some 35. So you want to drive the most effectively, because then you're also reducing your carbon, for example, or your gasoline. So they measure how much waste there is in the bin, and creating the most effective, efficient route in a city. There are also solutions. Energy is a big topic. You have an HVAC system in a building, so that's heating, ventilation, air conditioning. You put a box on it, on the system, and it will find its way to manage that properly, and that will impact the comfort level. It goes up. And also reduces energy with 30-40%. It's in that way a no-brainer, you know, to go and work with it. So it can be used by office or in retail. So there are different things. So it can also health and well-being, you know, having a sensor to know what's the indoor air quality. We're 90% inside. But in some cities, it's better to be outside than inside. And we don't know, because we think, oh, we can't see the pollution, but it's there. So there are different topics we can work on. Circular, you know. It's also a great, very simple solution where you know how it's working, to put a stick in the indoor garden or outdoor garden, and when it's getting too dry, it gives a signal and the water is going to flow. Because if we need green cities, it's not about planting trees, it's about growing trees. That's also, it's not about saving the bee, it's saving the environment, because then the bee can have a good place to live.
It basically boils down to urban development of the future. Why is the urban development so important, do you think?
The urban environment is so important because it's about a happy life, it's quality of life. And we all know that if you wake up and you open the window and you see a concrete wall, it doesn't make you happy. But when you open your window and you hear the birds and you see green, it activates something in your body. We are part of nature, and when we take care of nature, nature will take care of us with viruses, with sources for food, water. So it's very important that we rebalance that. It's a way also to take care of the future of humanity, because we don't need climate change. The climate will be okay, but it's us and the environment that should change to have a good climate.
I usually ask my guests, what is your best tip for making the world a better place in the future?
There's always something you can do as a person to create an impact. One of the things, and we also discussed that in the panel, is to put your money on the things who are for good. And of course, you have to dive into sometimes to dive in where you can put your money. But for example, I choose recently for a new shampoo without all those plastic chemicals, just a biological thing. So I'm sure I can wash myself with nature. And it's a simple thing, you know. It's also the soap, the food. Put your money on the local people with less with a local footprint. It's better to put your money on Amazon, who is flying your package all around the world to deliver it. So it takes a bit more time, maybe, but at the end, it will be more local for local. Also with clothes, you can go into the shopping mall. I need this and this and that, but maybe it's better to think, what do I already have? Can I change it? Or invest in something which is really quality. I have my green shoes today, and I was figuring out I'm already having them for 8 years. But I can also buy every year new shoes. It's about taking care of your shoes and going sometimes to the shoemaker and say, hey, listen, you have to change something. And he asked me, hey, Mano, how long do you have your shoes, you know, because they are looking so great. So yeah, around 6 years at that moment. It's fascinating because most of the time I get shoes after 6 years and they're done. So it's really investing in the future and taking care of your products. That's a simple tip.
Invest in good shoes. We're recording from Stockholm Impact Week in collaboration with Invest Stockholm. Why do you think Stockholm is an interesting place for this movement?
I think Stockholm has everything. When I fly in, you know, I saw the water and the trees. So I think that was also my view on Stockholm. The Nordics has a good DNA when we talk about sustainability. When you go back to Stockholm, there is a great infrastructure about innovation. It's green. There is a lot of nature. I think the Swedish people are very outdoors oriented. So the basics are there. It's all about execution right now and making smart regenerative connections in that way. And that's a learning process, but I know the Swedish people like to learn, like to reinvent. And Stockholm is a great city with the old and the new, a lot of water. So no way back, go forward and make a good impact in Stockholm, in Sweden and beyond.
Great. Thank you so much, Menno Lammers from PropTech for Good. PropTechforGood.com. You can find more information. And did you have a podcast as well?
Yes, I also have a podcast. You can find it on SoundCloud called soundcloud.com/impactproptechforgood, where you can listen to people from the real estate and the tech industry, but also outside, because cities and regeneration is, of course, part of the podcast.
Great. Thank you so much. And thank you to Invest Stockholm and Stockholm Impact Week for hosting this magnificent event. Today is Growth Day. And thank you to Epicenter, where we're recording. My name is Christian von Essen. Check out hejaframtiden.se on the web and social media for more information. Thank you for listening.